All right. Well, good evening, and take your Bibles, if you would, and open to Romans chapter 15. We're going to begin tonight in Romans chapter 15, and we're just going to read those last four verses, verses 30 through 33, and then the bulk of the message is going to be in the next chapter. So Romans chapter 15, and we'll read all together, just all the verses, verses 30 down through verse 33. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. This message tonight out of this last chapter, actually, I use this to start with in chapter 15, but we're going to be getting and taking a look at Romans chapter 16, which is rather, it's a chapter that's been passed over. I don't think it's preached out of too often. Matter of fact, I think probably I remember maybe one message out of this passage in all the years that I've been saved. So one message here, Romans chapter 16, but it's going to be a roll call of helpers. Instead, you got Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith, we call it in Hebrews 11. Well, Romans chapter 16 is the hall of helpers. That's who this chapter is all about, and we're going to get into that after we pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that as it goes out tonight, that it could be a help, that it could be an encouragement. Lord, be with those folks that are away, and again, even with our pastor tonight, as he has a sleep study test, I pray that that would go smoothly. I pray for each of us, Lord, that you'd minister to our hearts, encourage us. And as we study your word tonight, I pray you make this a profitable Bible study, and we'll thank you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Well, in Romans chapter 16, it's obscure, and like I said, it's neglected, but it's really a treasure. I mean, there are a lot of names in this chapter. I mean, there's some 35 different names, people that are named in chapter 16. And a lot of difficult names to pronounce. I'll be trying to pronounce them the best I can. We're not going to read the entire chapter, but I am going to go through chapter 16, and it is a roll call of helpers here. And throughout Paul's ministry that he had a very expansive ministry. I mean, you talk about all the people that he met. Paul made a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances. There were a lot of people that through the years, it gave him help, people that worked by his side, people that he got to, that he would lead to the Lord. And I always used to wonder, how could he write a letter to a church in Rome that he'd never been to? Obviously, he didn't start that church, but that church in Rome began from the believers, many of which I think were saved on the day of Pentecost. And you think about all the different people that would travel, and those folks that were there in Jerusalem, they heard the gospel, got saved, and of course Rome was the capital, the whole Roman Empire, and there were people that would travel. Paul did a lot of traveling. I don't know, he had frequent sailing miles, I think. He sailed a lot, and he was in a lot of places, and people knew him wherever he went, and I imagine at all the different seaports and the different places he would go, he'd be recognized to people. A lot of, I mean, obviously their communication by letter and courier, and people would travel. And so as he's writing this letter to these believers in Rome before he gets there, because he's planning on going there. And this is the interesting part of this chapter, and I'll get to it in just a minute. But like I mentioned, there's some 35 people named here. 9 were with Paul when he wrote this, and he wrote this actually from Corinth. Paul wrote this, the book, he wrote the letter to the Romans when he was in the city of Corinth. There were 9 people with them there, 8 men, 1 woman. The woman Phoebe is mentioned in the book in the next chapter, and I'll talk about her in a minute. 24 of them that he named by name were in Rome. He names 24 different people in this letter. 17 of them were men, 7 were women. There were 2 households that were mentioned, as well as some unnamed brethren. But think about all of that. So Paul, all of the people that aided him were very important. They were behind the scenes type of people. I mean, Paul was in the limelight. He gets all the, you know, notoriety. He gets everybody who knows about Paul. But those people that ministered to Paul and helped Paul along the way were vital. Stop and think about it, how important these people were. So in Romans chapter 16, now I want you to go there, where he gets to the end of this letter, this great, the great book of Romans in the Bible. I mean, it's a great book. Everybody, chapter after chapter, you could talk about it. Chapter 8, what a great chapter in the Bible. It's Romans chapter 8. But people don't get that excited about Romans chapter 16. But he gets to the end, and this is what he starts talking about. This letter, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer or a helper of many, and of myself also. So he starts off by saying, and by the way, this lets you know, she was the one that actually carried the letter to the Romans from Corinth to Rome. Cenchrea was a seaport, which is just about 9 miles away from, if you look it up on the map, it's about 9 miles away from Corinth, down on the eastern part there of the sea. They would sail from Cenchrea to Rome. And Phoebe is a believer there in the church, and she was living in Cenchrea. I'm sure she had been saved. Again, in Paul's second missionary journeys when he came through, and you can look that up in Acts. We're going to actually go to Acts chapter 18, so kind of keep your finger here in Romans 16 and go back to Acts chapter 18 as we study this. You'll see kind of the link. It's really interesting when you read through the epistles that Paul has written to be able to go through also at the same time and look in Acts and kind of put them in their historical context and where they're at. Well, what happens was when Paul came to Corinth, he was there for 18 months. He was a year and a half time. Paul was ministering to those people. They started that church there. And Cenchrea is, like I said, just the seaport. Phoebe is from there. And when Paul had written this, he gives it to her because she's on her trip. She's going to go to Rome, and she takes the letter for Paul and delivers it to the church. And so the first thing he says in chapter 16 of Romans again, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. And because they didn't know who she was. And Paul's basically saying in the letter, he was giving a letter of commendation saying, this is a Christian woman who is a helper, and she's helped me a lot, and I'm commending her to you for you to accept her. And that not only in verse 2, he says, not only that they receive her in the Lord as become a saints, but they assist her in whatsoever business she hath needed you. So, because she's been a helper. He said she deserves it. She's done nothing but help other people. And we all know people like that. It seems like they're always busy helping other people. And really, that's what chapter 16 is all about in Romans. That's what's so neat about it. And I like it. Recently in my Bible reading, as I read through it, it stood out again. And when preacher said, hey, I need you to cover for me on Wednesday night, I was thinking, I'm going to mention this because it touched my heart, the fact that in this chapter, Paul mentions these people by name because they're near and dear to his heart. I'm sure he prayed for them regularly. He had them on his heart. And he was looking very forward to going and seeing them personally one day. I want you to go back with me just a little bit in chapter 15 of Romans. So we'll get into Acts 18 in a minute, but look back at Romans chapter 15. And there in Romans chapter 15, you can see, I'll begin, let's back it up in verse number 24. Let's go to 23. He says, but now, having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. He's saying, I'm going to be taking a journey. I'm planning on going to Spain. And when I'm going to Spain, which was as farthest yet that he'd ever been, that's his plans, he says, I'm going to stop by and I want to see you in Rome. Now, at this time when Paul is writing this, it's at the end of the third missionary journey. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And that's where everybody's warning him, don't go to Jerusalem. Well, one of the reasons I know Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem, let's quickly read down a little bit further here in chapter 15. He said in verse 24, I'll pick up again there, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. And here's his reasoning. He says, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And by the way, James, they needed the help in Jerusalem. They had some destitute, they had some poverty and destitution going on in the church there in Jerusalem. And so they sent Paul. That's when one of the things he was talking about when he wrote to the Corinthians earlier about go ahead and gather the money so that there be no, you know, collections when I come. He was talking about taking up an offering for the poor people. And he took that from many churches, Philippi, Thessalonica. Here he's talking at Corinth. And when he got all of this offering that he collected, he had people with him that he took with him that watched over the money with him, he wanted personally to go to Jerusalem and present it to the people because it says, it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution. In verse 27, it hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. So they were a benefit of the gospel. It came from Jerusalem. Jesus was there. The church started there in Jerusalem, he says, and these people, these churches now are realizing it was because of that and the spread of the gospel that they got saved. Now they're giving a sacrificial kind of a love offering to the Christians that are in Jerusalem. Paul's gathered it together. He says, I'm going there. But he told him, I'm planning on coming to you in Rome, as he's writing at the end of this letter. He says, I'm going to come to you when I go to Spain. That was his plans. Of course, we realize the Lord had other ways. But notice what when we opened with the first few verses, I'll read them again, chapter 15, verse 30. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. He's talking about all of the rabid crowd that he was going to face when he got to Jerusalem because they didn't like the way he was teaching. They said he's teaching contrary to the law. And all the false accusations that they brought against him, we know the rest of the story, what happened. However, God did see fit to have Paul get to Rome, but on another way. I guess Paul probably had never thought that he'd be going at an all-expense-paid trip by the government. It would take him there as a prisoner to Rome, but he did get there, and he did have some freedom. He was there for a couple of years in Rome. So he did eventually get there, and the people did pray for him, I'm sure, when they got this letter. And so he writes the letter, gives it to Phoebe. Phoebe takes the letter, takes it to the Romans, and they read the letter. And at the end of it, he's giving this list now of all of these people. So that's kind of a background history of what you've got. He's planning on seeing them soon. So again, not very much is known about these people that you see in chapter 16. They're just mentioned by name. There's a couple. I mean, I'm sure that every single person that's mentioned by name, there's a long story behind it. Just like our acquaintances and people that you've known through the years and people that you've been privileged to work together with or folks that were near and dear to you. You could take a person and say, oh, I remember the time how the Lord met this need or how it was that you came and God sent you for this and you met a need in my life, or I remember you praying together with me and how God answered our prayers. Paul had a memory filled with stories, and he simply mentions them here by name. I look forward, I think, one of these days when we get to heaven, meeting these people and really finding out a lot of these stories that are behind each name. So here we're just given a brief name. Just for a moment, their name is kind of like flashed upon the screen of history for everyone to see. It's kind of like, remember Mary when she anointed Jesus and they said, why are you, what's this waste? What's the purpose of this waste? And Jesus said, wherever the gospel is told, he says, the story is going to be told to remember her, what she's done, because she anointed Jesus for his burying. It's kind of like here, God will let these people's names get written down in the Word of God because of the sacrifice and their service for the Lord, even though it was done not to be noticed of men. And that's the great thing about serving the Lord. There are so many people that are working behind the scenes in areas that people never see, and they're content to be that way. They're in ministries all over the world, literally, but here in this country. And every ministry has people like that where they get no recognition. They're not in front of people, but yet they're in the background doing things, working. I mean, like Phoebe, here she is. She's taking a letter. Nothing important, right? No, only the book of Romans. Yeah, she's carrying this letter that God has inspired and that Paul has written and now is being sent by this. It says, our sister, which is a servant of the church, in chapter 16, verse 1. That word servant is the word, that's the deacon. She's a deaconess. And listen, there's places for women, I mean, in the church to serve. And we've got, in every church that I've ever been a part of, women have played such a vital role in areas of service, whether it be in just working with children in children's ministries, in nurseries, in making meals, in decorations, and just everything about a ministry. There's so much that's done by the women. And here is, again, Phoebe that's mentioned, and it says she's a servant, and she's assisted Paul. And the word that's mentioned there, it's interesting, that talks about succorer or a helper of many in chapter 16, verse 2. That word indicates that it's got a connotation with it, with the original language that it's talking about, that she helped him financially. She was most likely a person of means. And Phoebe not only carried the letter, but she was a great helper to Paul. And I'm sure that she assisted him many times financially as well as in other services that she would help. Because Paul says she's been a succorer or a helper of many and of myself also. Then he mentions next people. Look at verse 3. These people are probably the most famous out of all anybody mentioned in this chapter. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Okay, well, we know them. We've heard them before. They've been in other places in the Bible. Matter of fact, Priscilla and Aquila, now you can hold your finger here and go back to Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, we have the story of Acts 18 is actually when Paul came to Corinth. And when Paul was at Corinth the first time on a second missionary journey, he first met Aquila and Priscilla. Notice with me in chapter 18 of Acts, I'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for by their occupation, they were tent makers. They dwelt together for a while. They kind of hit it off. They said, oh, you make tents? People forget that not only was Paul traveling, preaching the gospel, going from city to city, synagogue to synagogue, he was working, making tents on the side. Pastoring and ministering to people and preaching as a full-time job, Paul was working double time. I mean, Paul would go and finish with that and then go make tents. Well, he met Priscilla and Aquila. It's not given in Scripture, but they could have been saved through the ministry of Paul. Paul could have witnessed to them. They got saved. They were helpers and worked with Paul, though. It mentions here, as he was there for 18 months in Corinth. And this couple, and I think it's great, they mentioned together, this couple ministers with Paul. And matter of fact, when Paul leaves Corinth, he goes to Ephesus. And so did Aquila and Priscilla. They went to Ephesus also, and it's believed that jump down to verse 18 of chapter 18 of Acts. It says, "And Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there." He left who there? Priscilla and Aquila. "But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews." He left. Priscilla and Aquila stayed in Ephesus and worked there with the new Christians, the new converts in that church for quite a while Paul went on. And then Paul later met up with them, I'm sure, in Ephesus. Then when he writes this, by the time he gets back to the end of this third missionary journey, they're back. Aquila and Priscilla are back in Rome. They had a church in their home. Back in those days, it probably wasn't until the end of the second century. There were church buildings. Most of the early church folks met in homes. I mean, at first they met in the temple area, but then they got so large it couldn't accommodate it, and they met in people's homes. That's where the prayer meeting was for Peter. Remember when they were at the home of, I remember Mark, his mom. They had a prayer meeting there, and Rhoda answered the door when Peter was let out of prison by the angel, but it was at that home. And so they met in homes. Well, Aquila and Priscilla had a church in their home when Paul writes to them, because he says here in Romans 16, we'll jump back there again, he said, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ." Listen to what it says in verse 4, "who have for my life laid down their own necks." I wonder what that's about. Well, it doesn't tell us. Some people have supposed that it was when there was the big uproar and riot in Ephesus. Paul was about ready to go into the amphitheater, and they told him, "Don't go in there. They're going to tear you to pieces." He didn't. It's possible that during that time when he was in Ephesus that Priscilla and Aquila, they did something, but it says they laid down their own necks. They put their lives on the line for Paul. And Paul remembers this. And as he writes to the Romans at the end, he sends a greeting, and he says, "Tell Priscilla and Aquila hello." And he says, and he blessed them. He says, "They're my helpers." He says, "They're my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." They ministered to, and not just one or two churches. There were a lot of churches that knew Aquila and Priscilla. And as this couple works serving God with Paul, Paul greets them. And again, I think that would be an interesting story for us to hear from Aquila and Priscilla, how it was that they put their lives on the line to protect Paul. But he mentions it here. Now, in verse 5, he said, "Likewise greet the church that is in their house." So there was a church. They always were having meetings. You remember it was Aquila and Priscilla when they heard Apollos get up and preach and about the baptism of John. They kind of took him aside and kind of set the record straight and kind of educated him and helped him to perfect and to know about the gospel of Christ. And that was Aquila and Priscilla that did all of those things. And now there's another person that's mentioned down in verse 5. "Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ." So evidently in that region where they were, he was one of the first people that Paul got to see saved. Then in verse 6, here's Mary, another lady. "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us." Now, who is this? We have no idea. I mean, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there are six different Marys, and this is one of them. The only thing we know about this person, two things. First, she was living in Rome, because it's a Greek Mary. And secondly, she bestowed much labor on us. What could that have been? Well, there are a lot of things that people that do for other believers. You think just about in your own life as a Christian, as long as you've been saved through the years, what people have done for you, made things for you, given gifts to you, cleaned things for you, helped you move. Anything you needed, the things that are just the mundane, everyday, ordinary task that people that are busy serving the Lord, they need help with. And Paul always had somebody, it seemed like, who was willing to help him in the shadows, somebody that was always assisting him, that was succoring, helping him. And it says Mary here, she bestowed much labor on us. And then he says, verse 7, salute Andronicus and Junia. And that's believed to have been another couple. Junia is believed to have been a feminine. They're the couple, Andronicus and Junia. He says, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Meaning this couple had been saved before Paul came to Christ. They'd been saved, and he knew their testimony, and this couple served the Lord, and they had been put in prison. Well, up to this time, the only time Paul had been in jail previous to, this is the second missionary, on the third, he'd been in prison a few times. One time in particular in Philippi, we know. I don't think that would have been the time he was a fellow prisoner with them, but somewhere along the line of time that Paul was in prison, he knew this couple. So he said to salute them, to greet them, greet Mary, and verse 7, this couple. And then he said, verse 8, greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. And then 9, Urbane, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. That's a big word. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the land. Salute, verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa. And I've read that those they were most likely sisters there to other ladies who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Verse 13 is somebody who is mentioned that is an interesting story about verse 13. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Now, what's that mean? Look at the verse again. When you see the name Rufus, there are some people that believe in it. It's very possible. It's not 100%. You can't be dogmatic about it. But this Rufus could be the son of Simon, the Cyrene, who bore the cross for Jesus. It's mentioned in Mark. Matter of fact, just jump over there real quick. You might as well look at the reference. Go back to Mark chapter 15. I think this is kind of interesting. This is a little bit of an aside, but I'll go there real quick. I think it's kind of interesting. In Mark chapter 15, verse 21, by the way, the gospel, according to Mark, it was written for the Romans. It was written for those in Rome, most likely written. And Peter's account of the gospel that Mark wrote, that Mark, again, and Peter, I think, conspired here, but obviously Holy Spirit used Mark to write it. But in chapter 15, verse 21, it says, they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. That's interesting. Why would they even mention the father of Alexander and Rufus? Well, I think it could be the very same Rufus that's mentioned here that's living in Rome now that Paul sends greeting to in Romans chapter 16. He also mentions his and his mother and mine, meaning that, hey, Rufus's mom, the wife of Simon, was just like a mother to Paul. And we've all had people like that. I can think of people in my church, El Vista, and growing up, and the different people that God used that ministered to me and that encouraged me, that did things for me. And we can all think of people like that in our lives. Stop and think tonight yourself about the people that God has used in your life. If you were to write a letter and mention some people by name that were instrumental in your life and how they played such an important role in your growth as a Christian and how they encouraged you. But listen, remember, Paul was everybody says, oh, he was a great Christian. He was used of God in a mighty way. But behind every great person like that, there's a myriad of people that are doing a bunch of little menial tasks and that are helping him. And that's why it's an encouragement to me in the application in this whole chapter. Why you say, why would God have just a whole chapter in the Bible of nothing but names? Thank you for this person and this. And I don't know these people. Why, what? That meant a lot to Paul because every one of those names was a story. Multiple stories, and you look at the heart of Paul because he loved people. He was a pastor, had a pastor's heart, and he was a shepherd of these sheep. And as he named, I mean, again, over 24 plus people that he's writing to, he's mentioning them by name, saying, tell them hello, salute them. They've been used of God. They helped me greatly. She was like a mother to me here. And then verse 14, salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. There was a kid in my senior year in high school at the Christian school. He loved that verse. He liked to greet the girls in school with, and he wanted to greet one another with a holy kiss. Obviously, that's a little different than what he was thinking about. That was the, just like we shake hands today when we meet people. Can you imagine how the germ spreading would be with there with a holy kiss? It was on the cheek. It was a custom side to side. You've seen it in the other countries how they do it. They would greet. He says, and the word is holy there. Okay, greet one another with a holy kiss. I had to throw that in there. Verse 16. But in this chapter, as he mentions person after person, a helper, this person aided me here, this person was an encouragement to me here. What this tells me is that whatever we do, we sometimes think what we're doing is not important or it's not going to be recognized. And that doesn't matter. We should not do things to be recognized, obviously. But we want to be a help in this church to our pastor. I mean, if it's just sweeping off some rocks off of the sidewalk out here, or trimming the grass, cut the grass, water the yard, grow the flowers, cook some meals, visit the sick, invite somebody to church. All of these are things that we do to pray, the financial aid, writing missionary letters, shoveling snow, running errands, decorations, just all of the things that are important in a ministry, people don't see it. And again, the pastor's up in front. He's the face of the church, and people see that all the time, and they'll see a ministry, and they'll say, man, what a great ministry. Every great ministry has a myriad. There's a group of people that are just sold out and love God, that are working behind the scenes, and that's what Paul's recognizing here in chapter 16, and he's saying, thank you. And he, after he gives a warning to false teachers there, he continues at verse 21. He said, Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, that's Luke, he had Timothy and Luke, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. Then he says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, when I was first saved, I didn't know any of the Bible. I looked at that, I said, I thought Paul wrote this. It says Tertius wrote this epistle. Well, he was the scribe. He was the person that penned it. Paul would dictate it, and Tertius was the guy who wrote it out. Paul would tell him what to write, and he'd write it out. He said, "I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you." So he got his word in. He said, "I want to say hi to everybody out there too. I was the one that wrote this." Gaius, mine host. Gaius, one of the men there that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians, in the early part of 1 Corinthians. He was a believer out of Corinth. He said, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Well, so whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Meaning that even though you might think some of the things you do aren't that big, they are. The smallest thing. And so as a word of encouragement to each of us in church, you might think, oh, this is just a minor thing. I'm just writing, nobody's going to notice this, nobody's going to care. Yeah, the Lord sees it. And by the way, it mentions in Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to close with this, Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. You're familiar with the verse, but I'll turn to it and read it to you. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42. I back it up and say, verse 41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, Verily, I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The littlest of things that we do for the Lord to serve him, in helping our pastor, in helping another believer, to encourage somebody, to say a kind word, to be there to help them. They might be grieving. It might be a financial a need you help to meet. It can be a time that you're lifting them up in prayer. You cook a meal, help them when they're sick. Take out the trash, mow the grass, do something, help them move. Whatever it is that you do, that's big in God's sight. And I think Romans chapter 16 is a testament to all of those helpers. So we have Romans chapter 16, I think you can hold it up alongside of Hebrews 11 as the hall of faith of all those that had faith. The big names, they're there. Well, you look at Romans chapter 16 and you got the hall or the roll call of the helpers. And I think God looks at them as just as big because they're just as important. Could you imagine had Paul not had these people by his side to help him, to pray for him? Every pastor of every ministry and every church needs a Phoebe. They need a Priscilla and Aquila. They need a Mary. They need an Urbane and Apelles, all these people. They need folks that are willing to serve God without fanfare, in the shadows, and do it as unto the Lord. And then God is able to take that and bless it. And there's going to be a lot of surprises, I think, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be a lot of people saying, wow, who's that person? I had no idea. I mean, those are going to be the big names in heaven, those people that were praying for our pastor, and nobody knew about it, their ministry of prayer, the things that they did behind the scenes. So let's let the Lord take these words tonight, encourage our hearts that we can take the little tasks that we think are little and do them as unto the Lord, because whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. It all glorifies God, and for him to get the honor and glory for it, he's pleased. So that's the words tonight out of Romans chapter 16, kind of an obscure chapter, one that you don't really hear too many messages out of it. As I read it through, I thought, wow, there's a lot of really neat people in here. We don't know anything about them, just a couple little here and there things, but God knows. And I think we'll be privileged one day to find out, and I'm looking forward to that day. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your precious word, for this obscure passage, this account in your word that kind of encourages our hearts that we can, Lord, we can be a helper to the man of God, to a ministry. We can do work in places where, Lord, even though folks don't know or get credit, you see, and Lord, you bless and honor that. So I pray, Lord, you'll encourage our hearts. Help us to stay faithful, Lord, until you come again for us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.